Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is today's message.
So grateful this morning that I get to give the word, share the word of God with you. I try not to put together a message that's just cookie cutter. Anytime I put together a message, I'm always trying to think about, you know, God, what are you dealing with me on? What am I living myself? Because I found out that the best messages are the ones we tend to live. They're authentic, they're real. And so today, the message that I'm going to share with you is near dear to my heart, something that I am still growing in, something that I'm still learning, something that I'm still challenged to do, and I want to challenge you. Not only that, but I'm going to stir your heart up. I'm going to also remind you who you are in Christ and what your role and responsibility is. So Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is a very powerful chapter because it's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He had a large crowd following him. His disciples were following him as he climbed up on the mountain. And he said, they sit at his feet, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them about the Beatitudes. He talked about the law. He talked about anger. He talked about adultery. He talked about loving your enemies. He talked about being persecuted and talked about and slandered. He talked about a lot of things. But here we are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And we see that Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples in the crowd, he looks dead at them and says, "You're the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and put it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Today I want to talk to you about you are the light of the world, act like it. You are the light of the world, but act like it. We know that the first verse in 14, it says, "You are the light." In Amplified verses, it says, "You are the light of Christ to the world." You know, you guys know I play football. And in high school, one thing that used to bother me, I used to see a lot of pretend football players. Guys will walk around with the jerseys on. They will go around telling everybody, like, "Yeah, I'm on the team. I'm a Falcon, baby, or I'm an Aggie." And people will be like, "Huh, you played? Yeah, come check me out." And they will come back to me and say, "Hey, so-and-so, he say he's on the team." I'm like, "No, he's not on the team. He ain't been to practice, ain't been to workouts, ain't showed up in a game. But yeah, he's walking around talking like he is on the team, and he's not pretending." And so I used to go to my coach and say, "Coach, can you do something about this? Can you tell these guys who are acting like they're football players to stop pretending because they're not on the team?" And you know what my coach told me? He said, "I get it." He said, "But eventually people will find them out that they're fake." Yes. He said, "You keep on being a player. You keep showing up to practice. Yeah. You keep giving effort. You keep sacrificing because you're an athlete. It shows. And people know that when they come see it." And so we got a lot of Christians going around talking about, "Oh, I'm a Christian," like it's cute. Yeah. Talking about, "Oh, I'm a Christian," yay. And then they're on social media, you know, booting everything all out, and they want to put a scripture underneath it. I'm like, come on. Where's the evidence? You can't say that you are a Christian and there's no fruit. Yes. So when I'm talking about you are the light of the world, we need to act like it. We need to act like it. So my clicker's not working, but I'm fine with it because Pastor told me I always be ready because the technology, you know, it's funny. This light represents truth, goodness, knowledge, the presence of God, and salvation, right? And so when he's saying that you are the light of the world, it's meaning that you are representing truth, goodness, knowledge, and salvation. You know, Thomas Brooke, a famous preacher back in the early 1600s, said a Christian's life should be nothing but a visible representation of Christ. Christian's life should be nothing but a visible representation of Christ. We see that the sun shines, right? When it's out, it shines on the whole world. But when the sun goes down, the moon rises in its place. Now, the moon doesn't have light. But when the sun goes down and the moon rises, the sun gives light to the moon, and the moon gives light to the earth so that we can still see it. Jesus Christ was the sun, the S-U-N. And that Jesus, when he was present in the earth, he gave light to the whole world. But when he died and he went back to be with his heavenly Father, he left us, who was the moon, here on the earth to be able to light to the earth. So we have the responsibility to reflect and represent Christ every day, in every place, in every way, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. We have the responsibility to reflect Christ and represent him every day in every way, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. So I say that because we are light because our world needs a standard. He says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that we need a standard. And I remember I was working a job. My wife just got married. It was 2011. We were married about 4 or 5 months. And I remember my boss, he came under a lot of pressure. And I was working in the mental health field. And we did work. The way we got paid was we had to turn in notes. And that's how they paid us. And it got to the point to where we wasn't producing enough notes because we didn't have enough clientele. So he said, listen, y'all got to make this happen. You need to lie, do whatever you can. You need to make this happen in order to get paid. And I said, boss man, I can't do that. I can't lie. I said, because one of all, it's illegal. We can get sued. Stuff can happen. I can't do it. He said, Mr. Sweeney, you need to make it happen or you can go. So I went back. I'm newly married, y'all, telling my wife. I said, babe, he wanted me to compromise my faith. And I said, one of the things you married for, you knew that I was strong in my faith, that I wasn't going to compromise. And I said, he's asking me to lie and do something that's illegal. And I said, I'm going to pray about it. Let's pray. So we prayed, and I remember hearing God say, son, it's okay, you can go, I'll take care of you. And I was like, God, my mama told me when I was growing up, you can't leave a job unless you got another one. I don't have another job lined up. And I hear it again. It's okay, son, you can go. I'll take care of you. And I looked at my wife, I said, babe, she said, don't look at me, I'm riding on your faith. And I'll never forget, I went back, I was so nervous, y'all. I went back and I talked to my boss. I said, boss man, listen. I said, I get it. I know you're under pressure. I know you want things to happen, but I can't compromise my faith. I'm a believer. I said, I have a standard. And I said, I'm sorry, here's my resignation. I'll no longer be working here. And his look, he was so shocked. He was like, I said, that's it. And I never forget, a year later, he called me on the phone. He said, man, I just wanted to tell you some exciting news. I said, what's going on? I ain't seen you in a minute. He said, I wanted to tell you, I gave my life to Christ. He said, the day that you decided that you want to work for me because you want to lower your standard because you was a believer, he said that I got my life. I never forgot that moment, and I came to Christ because of your standard. What I'm talking about, you are the light of the world. We need to act like it because our world is dark. We got people who are hurting, people who are suffering, people who are going through, people whose marriage is rocky, and they need a light. And he came and gave his life to Christ and been living for Christ ever since. I'm talking about on fire because of the standard that I set. We are the light of the world because our world needs examples. My friend is a model. He's a fat, get on the runway and walk. And I talked to him. I said, man, you've been doing this for a while. I said, tell me, what's the hardest thing about your job? He said, man, one, we have to work on our appearance. He said, because when we on the runway and we're walking, right, we have to be able to walk in such a way that people want to buy what we're selling. He said, so, and then I said, what's the other thing? He said, well, we have to work on our walk. He said, because we got to have that walk right. You know how they be saying, you better walk, you better do it. And then he had to have that walk right. And what I'm saying is that we need examples of this. Charles Spurgeon said, I would not give much for your religion if it cannot be seen. Because lights don't talk, they shine. And because we are an example to people in the world, because we are a city set upon a hill that the people are dark, and when they see us, they're looking for an example. So we gotta get our walk right. I said, we most of us Christians work more on our talk than our walk. And what I'm telling you today is to work more on your walk than your talk. So that when people look at you, they say, ooh, something different about you. I want that. I want what you got. Because I don't have that in my example, in my neighborhood, in my family. I love the way your marriage look. I love the way your family look. I love how you take care of you. I love how you treat people. I want that. So we do a lot of talking, but not enough walking. We are light because our world needs solutions. They have dilemmas, and people are wondering, like, how can I get through this situation? You know, I work with a lot of young people, and there's a lot of young people who are self-medicating. on a lot of drugs. I just found out that some of the people that I work with, they was telling me that some of the kids do coke. I'm talking about coke. I said, in high school? And I asked my kids, I said, man, y'all doing coke, y'all doing this, y'all popping pills, y'all doing wet, all that. I said, why? Man, we stressed out. We don't know how to deal with our situation. And I said, man, that's why we have to be the light. Because our world needs a standard. They need examples, and they need solutions. And we got the solutions. You got the juice. Because the Christ that lives on the inside of you, you the light. When Christ left, he left us down here to be light bearers to the world, to represent him. And I don't take it lightly because I understand that I don't want to bring shame upon the name of Christ. I don't want to bring shame upon GOCC. I don't want to bring shame upon my family because I'm the light. When Adrian, God bless her, she came to me last October and said, hey, there's an opportunity at my job and a position's coming up, and I think you'll be a great fit for it. And I said, thank you. She said, listen, I'm telling you, you can get in right away. I can set you up. The next day, we had a meeting with the principal, and the principal, Adrian had hyped me up, and the principal was like, yeah. She wasn't even interviewing me. She was just like, yeah, so, when are you going to start? I'm like, oh, okay. But I knew going in that it wasn't about me. I was representing Adrian. So when I came in, I had to be an example because I couldn't bring shame upon Adrian because she vouched for me. And a lot of times people walk around like, the walls group talk about something, let me live my life. You ain't live your life. You can't do what you want to do because you represent somebody else. Your life is not your own. You can't stay and act crazy at school and in the community and think there's not going to be any consequences to it. There is. So I had to do my work with excellence. I had to show right because I know if I didn't do what I was supposed to do, Adrian would look bad. Yes. And a lot of times we don't take into consideration that we have other people to think about. Yes. That's right. So we are light. Yes, and when you walk in this light, two things are going to happen. You're going to either, people are going to either move towards you or they're going to move away from you. They're going to either move towards you or away from you. They're going to move towards you. But why? Because light, one of the things it does, it reveals. It reveals your need for something that you have need of. And so when you're light and people see that, they say, you know what? Man, I've been watching your life. Something different about you. And they're drawn to you. Why? Because they need help. You got the solution. Yes. And when they draw away from you, two things will happen when they move away from you. Either you did something, character, something happened, and they don't want that. I was at one of my jobs, and, I got there, and people were like, come to my church. Come to my church. I'm like, why would I go to your church? If Jesus ain't changing your life, why would I want that Jesus? If you still acting crazy and doing everything everybody else doing, because if I'm light, you said you light, but you living like you in the dark, why would I want that Jesus? And a lot of people want to look at us and say we're hypocrites because they see that we living just like they living. They was like, what's the difference? So they move away from us because they was like, man, I'm tired of church folk. I'm just tired of these Christians. They think they this and that, and they doing the same thing I'm doing. Why would I want they God? I can go sit here and find Jesus or God on my own. They move away from us for the second reason, because for their sins to be exposed. In John chapter 3, Jesus said a light came into the world. John chapter 3, verse 19, he said a light came into the world. He said, but people, I'm paraphrasing, people love darkness more than the light. He said that they didn't want to come into the light for fear that their sins, their evil deeds would be exposed. And when people see your light and they watch you from afar off, they say, you know what, man, I see that light shining, but I just love my sin too much. I love what I'm doing too much. And when I was at college and I was in college ministry, I was ministering to some of our males and our athletes, and I would say, man, you come to Christ, we talk to them, and they was like, you know what, I get it, man. I see your light shining, you doing your thing, but I love sleeping around with these women. I can't give that up. I love doing this right here. I can't give that up. And so they would draw away from me, and I'm like, cool, this doesn't take anything away from me because I'm going to still keep being light. I'm going to still keep walking as the light. I'm going to still keep doing what God called me to do because I'm light. Yes. So you're going to move away from me. Okay, that's fine because I understand you love your sin. My mom used to wake up in the morning and it would be pitch black dark and she would just turn on the light. Ah, wake up. You're like, come on, mom. Turn the light off. I love to sleep too much. So either people are going to move towards you because they see your walk, they see what you got and they want that, or they're going to move away from you because of your bad character. Or because you're just too light and they want to stay in their darkness. And I would rather people stay away from me because I'm being light than stay away from me because I did something that I wasn't supposed to. And we have a lot of Christians, I don't know y'all talk, I talked to a lot of people that they was once a part of the faith and they're not part of the faith anymore because of what somebody else did. And I always have to try to clean up what somebody else did because they didn't take into account that we're representative of Christ. Yes. That we're representing the faith and I represent you. So, second thing, because we are the light, you cannot hide your light. He said that a light is not hidden, right? You don't light a light and then put it under a basket. Right? You don't take a light that's shining and put it under a basket to hide it, right? Because what's happening is we do this, and when we hide our light, people don't get the benefit from our light. We do ourselves a disservice because he says, listen, when the light is lit, everybody in the house benefits. But when you hide it, can't nobody see it. We need the light. Our world is dark. They know not where they're going. They don't know what they're really doing. They're walking in ignorance, and you hiding our light, and I get it. And we do it for three reasons. One, we do it because of sin and shame. Maybe you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like, man, you know what? I'm still struggling in my mess. Why am I going to tell somebody else to live right? Why am I going to tell somebody else to do this, and I'm still going through my same issue? And you don't feel worthy to be light. But he didn't tell you not to try to act like you light. He didn't tell you that you had to be perfect to be light. He didn't tell you you had to have no sin to be light. He told you just to be light. Because the difference between us and them is that we're still forgiven. That we don't make a practice of sin. They're still walking in sin. They are not forgiven. They're still bound, and we are not bound. And though we will struggle with our sin, doesn't mean that we still don't love Christ. Doesn't mean that we still can't get our life together. Doesn't mean that we're not forgiven. But the people who are bound in Christ, they don't know that they are free. They can be free and that they can be forgiven. So we hide our life because of sin and shame. We don't feel like we're worthy enough. We hide our light because of we're afraid. You know, in our schools, a lot of our young teens, our young college students, they don't want to shine their light because they're afraid that they're going to get talked about. They are the minority among the majority. That means that they are a minority trying to be light at this school because they don't have other lights around them. They feel like, I need to hide my light. I don't want nobody talking about me. I don't want nobody saying this about me. I don't want to have to deal with any conflict. I don't want to have to try to defend my faith, so I'm going to put my light up. You don't want to stand. You don't want to, you know, tell your homeboy, your homegirl that what they said and what they did was wrong because you want to. I'm fine with it. I'm gonna just avoid conflict altogether and just hide my light. That way they ain't gotta know about it. And what I'm trying to tell you is that no, you need to be proud of being a Christian. Yes. You need to be proud of being a Christian. Everybody ain't gonna accept our views. Everybody is not going to accept our standard. But we're light, yes. And that's okay. And then the last thing is that we hide our light because of lack of knowledge. We don't really know who God is. Some of us don't even get into the Word. I mean, so many people that say, oh, like, man, you read the Word? Nah, I just watch a preacher on TV. I said, how you know they preaching the Word? Like, I married my wife. Why would I go to somebody else and ask them about my wife? Yes. Then I'm building a relationship with her. Why would I go to somebody else and find out about my wife? Yeah. When he gave us a love letter filled with words, filled with instructions on how to live this life. So we lack knowledge. We lack knowledge because we don't really know who we are and what we possess. You got the Jews. You got it. And I need you to start walking like it. Not trying to be light. Be light. So don't hide your light. You know what? And I get it because, you know, I was in the limbo coming from Atlanta in 2015 to Houston. And, you know, we were at a church in North Carolina for like 10 years. We moved to Houston. We had found a church for like a year. And I used to tell my wife, I said, babe, I know we kind of in this limbo stage because some stuff happened at our last church. I said, but however, we need to be around believers. Because I know that there's strength in fellowship. I know that there's encouragement around other believers. The longer the enemy can separate you and keep you away by yourself, you get weak as a believer. And I found myself getting weak, and I used to ask my wife, I'm like, babe, I don't even know if I'm saved. She's like, what you mean? Because when we got to Houston, I started working in this school. And this school was so toxic, and it was so dark, and I was green. I came in like, yeah, we're going to change the world. Everybody's going to get saved. You're going to love Jesus. And I'm just green. And eventually, I came in hiding my light. I'm not going to say I'm a Christian because I see a lot of people saying they're Christians and they ain't living a lick of God. And I'm not. I'm going to just hide my light. And I came in there because, you know, if I said I was a Christian, I knew I was going to get attacked. I was afraid. So I just hid my light. And then I found myself doing what my coworkers was doing. I found myself cussed the kid out. I said, man, I ain't saved. She said, what happened? I said, I cussed the kid out. She said, what you mean? I was like, man, this joker came at me sideways. I said, get your out my and it hit me. Because there's the thing. I know some people don't trip about cussing, but I know that when I was a coach in the coaching industry, that's all people did. So when they would look at me, they was like, coach, I noticed something different about you because you don't cuss. And for the first 6 months while I was there, they was like, man, you ain't cuss. I was like, oh, you coach, you cuss. I was like, I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. And then eventually, because I wasn't a part of global outreach yet, and we were trying different churches, I still found myself getting weak. And next thing you know, I'm going out having drinks with my coworkers. And I'm doing stuff, dude, and I'm talking like them, thinking, I'm like, man, God, what's going on? He said, son, you've been high your life. They know that there's something different about you, but you're so afraid to step up. They have conversations at the table, and they talk about all their dirt, all the stuff that they got going on, but you can't say nothing about Jesus? And they go in, and then they're going, after they get done talking about all of it, then, hey, you, would you like to come to my church on Sunday? Dude, you just, but I was high in my life. He said, son, they already know. Even if I was to light this light right now, you would still be able to see light under this lamp, even though it's hidden. And so when Jesus telling me, he's like, son, take the light out and let it shine. I said, God, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, son, okay, here's what you do then. You go to the people who you're trying to reach, and I want you to ask for forgiveness. I said, God, are you serious? I asked for forgiveness. And I went to him. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I said, I know a lot of believers out here talking about they with Christ, talking about they represent Christ, and they ain't living for God really like that. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't represent God like I needed to. I said, there were some things that you were going through, man. I have the solution. I knew the answer. I just didn't want to say it because I was afraid that you was going to try to debate me, fight against me. I said, man, but I'm light. I'm sorry, if you forgive me? And one of my coworkers said, he said, man, I never met a Christian that came to ask me for forgiveness because they wasn't representing Christ. He said, man, I respect you even more. He said, matter of fact, he said, I already knew it was something different about you. I knew that, he said, I knew you were spiritual. He said, I didn't know what religion you was in. He said, but I knew it was spiritual. He said, man, because the advice, the conversations we have, you would show up at my darkest moments. You would meet me where I was. You begin to pray for me. He said, so I knew there was something different about you. And what I'm telling you is don't hide your light. Shine your light. Stand up on the city of a hill and put your light on the lampstand and say, no, I'm light. Either you want me or you don't, but I'm lying. I ain't hiding it no more. And I found myself praying for my coworkers, praying with my coworkers. I found myself students coming to me, asking me questions about God, all because I stopped hiding my light. I stopped worrying about what they was going to say. And the fact that when I came to humble myself, ask for forgiveness, they respected me even more because I was authentic. I didn't try to be something that I wasn't. So be real. Because you're light. And because we're light, we need to let our light shine. We need to let our light shine. For all men to see, so they can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. There was a pastor that I was listening to. He was telling a story about one of his members. A couple was coming to church, and the husband was asking his wife how the new job was, and she said, "You know, I can't understand." And she said, "I was in this old department, and in that department, we had a lot of believers. It was all like things were lovely, things were good. I loved the job. But then I got a new position. I got transferred to this new department, and there are no believers there." And so she kept saying, like, God, why would you put me in such a dark place? And she was talking to her pastor, and her pastor said, yeah, you want to know the reason why God put you in that place? She said, yeah, tell me. He said, because it's a dark place. He looked down and saw this department had all this light, and saw this other apartment full of darkness, people that he died on the cross for, people who didn't know the truth, people that he didn't know, needed help, and there was no light there. So I took one of my lights out of this department and put it in darkness. And a year later, she said, she brought the three people to church with her. She said, hey, these are my coworkers in my new department. They decided to get their life together. Why? Because she was light. Yes. Let your light shine. Let means that you have permission to shine. And that when you shine, you don't know what God can do on your job, in your home, in your marriage, in your community, at your school. But you have to let your light shine so that all men can see it. Not just good works of acts of kindness and love and service, but even your character. Sometimes people will watch what you do before they hear what you're saying. You can come to them and tell them all you want about Jesus, but they're going to look at your life. Guarantee you, they're going to examine your life. And so when you begin to open your mouth, you better have a walk to match it. Your walk better match your talk. Because if not, they're going to point it out. And see, and you're telling me to come to Christ. Look at you. Now, again, and people are going to make those assumptions. I don't know if you have. People told me all the time. I see you messed up. I'm like, man, you're all right. I'm messed up. I shouldn't have cussed you out. I shouldn't have said that. Right? Because they're looking at how you handle situations, how you handle conflict, how you deal with people. You know, I had a lady I was working with. Man, this lady was so evil. And she posting stuff on social media. Like, she just like, oh my God, come to my church, the prophetic ministry, you're going to do that. I'm like, lady, I work with you. Like, you wrong. You treat people wrong. They not seeing that. And I heard people saying like, she go again. She a hypocrite because she doing all this, but she cussing folk out. Like, come on with you. You representing us. Yes. You represent Christ. You represent your family. Yes. So let your light shine so that people can see it. In the last one, so that people can glorify your Father. The end game. That's the end game. I started my first y'all sermon January 13th. And I told y'all in the intro how, you know, my mom beat the brakes off of me because I got kicked out of school, you know, because the teacher and the whole nine. And so, you know, when I got home, you know, no talking, my mom just done, son, like, gave me the works. But afterwards, she had a conversation with me, and she said, son, you know why I'm upset? I said, no, mom, what? She said, because when you go to school, your behavior represents me. It's a reflection of me. And when you go there and you act a plum fool, I look bad. Yes. But when you go there and you act like you got home training, you act like you got some sense, you make me look good. Son, I want to look good. Son, you a Sweeney. I need you to go to school and act like it. Yeah. And that messed me up because when I never thought about that. Because I was only thinking about myself. I didn't think about, you know, I'm a kid, but as an adult, you know, adults, I'm an educator. So educators sometimes look at the parent. Your kid coming to school acting crazy. It's a reflection on you. What are you not doing at home? And I'm saying, like, what we do here on the earth, that when people look at us and when we act a plump fool, they say, man, you supposed to be who? Represent who? God. Look how you live in your life. But when you act like God, because God has invested too much into you, He has done so much for you. He has been with you through your ups and through your downs for you to be walking around here acting a fool. He's saying, listen, I need you to go and be a representative of me. Don't just think about yourself. Think about me. Today, I wake up and I say, God, I'm going to work. I say, help me. Help me to talk. Help me to live in such a way that it brings glory to your name. Because I know people are watching me. And I said, man, my mom want to look good. And so I'm telling you that God want to look good. Because of His investment into us, because of Christ is in us. And when we don't, I'm telling you guys, and you see it, people bring name, they bring shame on the name of Christ. Yes. You bring shame into your family. You bring shame into your community. Yes. I want them to glorify my Father in heaven. And when they saw my mom, and they saw the change that happened, you know what they did? Oh, Miss Sweeney, oh my God, you did such a good job with your son. Yes. I mean, he's a brand new kid. Thank you so much. What's your secret? I want them to say that about my God. Yes. When we encounter them and they say, man, God, I thank you for Brandon Sweeney. Thank you for Pastor Eric. Thank you for Cheryl. Thank you for Kiki. Thank you for Coach German. Thank you for Erica. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for Stoneham. Like, thank you because you have people representing you here on the earth, and I came to Christ because of your life. You are the light of the world, but I need you to start acting like it. Represent Christ. Let your light shine. Don't hide it because of sin and shame. Don't let the enemy get in your head and tell you that, man, you can't be light. Don't try to tell nobody else what to do because you was doing dirt too. Enemy, get out of my head. I've been forgiven. I'm getting up and I can walk and I'm still light.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.